Begin the current daf, Masech Neschul Daf Samach Beis. Begin on the bottom line of Samach Alvam Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, where we were discussing that there are 24 different non-kosher birds, the rest being kosher, and there are four simanim, signs of a kosher bird. Now, however, even if there's only three or two or one kosher sign, the bird's going to be kosher. However, there are certain, what's called gzeres hakasav, certain birds that were delineated in the Torah, although they have, besides the nesher, one kosher sign or two kosher signs or even three kosher signs, then there's still those birds that were delineated in the Torah that were specified are still going to be non-kosher birds. Now, relating to this, Allah Amr of Nachman, he says, as we continue in the time of Samach Beis and Aleph, Hayabaki ben, if someone was proficient and knowledgeable in this Peres and Oznia, which they were the two birds that have only one kosher sign, and they're not kosher, they're from the 24 birds mentioned in the Torah, not kosher. However, every other bird that has one sign, even one sign, is going to be kosher, as we learned out from the Nesher, that's the one that has nothing, and that's not kosher, but everything else that has something besides those specified in Torah are kosher. So says Rav Nachman, if someone was knowledgeable regarding the Peres and the Znia, he was able to identify what those two birds are, uvishmeisein, and moreover, he knew their names, meaning he knows which birds are even called Peres and the Znia. So then, so if he finds in front of himself a bird, a fowl, that has one kosher sign, then it's going to be for him a kosher bird, because he knows that it's not similar to those that he knows to be the Peres and the Znia. And it's not even called Peres and the Znia, because if he would encounter a bird that he would find out and they call it Peres, then we would have to suspect that maybe it is from the same species. But since he knows that it's not called Peres and the Znia, and he knows to identify that it's not the Peres and the Znia, so if it has one kosher sign, then it's a kosher bird. Now, however, but if he was not knowledgeable in what is the Peres and the Znia and their names, then b'simenecha tami. Then, if he finds a bird with one kosher sign, then it's going to be considered non-kosher because we have to suspect that maybe it happens to be the Peres and the Znia that have one kosher sign and they're not kosher. However, b'shnei simanim tar, but if he finds and encounters a bird that has two kosher signs, then he could consider it as a kosher bird because now it's not anymore in the doubt of Peres and the Znia, because they only have one kosher sign. This bird has two kosher signs, as we explained in the previous stuff, the four different types of signs that are integral in the kosher bird. Now, additionally, it's also removed from a doubt regarding all those other non-kosher birds mentioned in the Torah, because they all have three kosher signs besides the Irith, which is the only one that's specified in Torah to be non-kosher, even though it has two kosher signs. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, v'hushiyaka Irith. As long as this person recognizes what's the Irev, what's the raven, and he knows that this is not an Irev, then it's kosher, because it has two signs. And the only non-kosher bird that has two kosher signs is the Irev, and he knows it's not an Irev. However, in this halacha of Nachman, the Gemara asks, Irev v'sulai, is it really true that the only one that is considered non-kosher with two kosher signs is the Irev? And therefore, if he knows it's not the Irev, he could assume that this is the kosher bird. But Vatanya learned the Braisa that expounds the Pasuk in Meyukah that talks about the Irev, which is not kosher. Ze Irev, says the Braisa. What does Irev refer to? This refers to the Irev. When it says Leminai, according to its species, what's that coming to include? What's its species besides the Irev itself? Shabliyazoyme says Lahavi es a zarzer. It's coming to include the zarzer, which Rashi says is the sterling, that bird is included in the category of Irev of being a non kosher bird. However, the Braisa continues and says, Amrlai Rabliyazar, they said to Rabliyazar, but there's the people of the village of Tamarta in Judea. What do you mean? They eat that zarzer because it has a crop. And that crop is one of the four kosher signs. And you can't say that you're saying like it's the Irv because that's not one of the two signs that the Irv has. So although the zarzer, you're right, has only two signs, but it's not the same two signs as the Irv. So therefore, this zarzer has two kosher signs, and it's obviously not an Irv because it's two different, its two signs are different than the two signs of the Irv. So like we said, that's obviously a kosher bird because the only one that's not is the Irv. On that Amalehem, that Rabbi Eliezer said to them, no, afein asidin litin es adin. No, they're also going to have to give judgment, that village that you're saying that they eat the zarzer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, that since the zarzer dwells amongst the Irvim, amongst the ravens, so we assume that it's actually part of that species, as Abraisa teaches elsewhere, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not for nothing that the zarzer goes to the Irv, rather it must be because it's from their species. That's one version. Davach, another interpretation, same idea, but a different inclusion and exclusion. when it says in the pasuk in the gear says leminoi according to its species, so lehavi sinunis levana divrei b'Eliezer. B'Eliezer says that comes to include the white sinunis, which is the white swallow. That's included in what's usher in the category of oyev. That Amr Lai, here too, in the second version, that the Chacham said to him, how can you say that? But the people of the Upper Galilee, they eat this white sinunis. And the reason why, and that they are treating it as kosher, they shakukavani niklav. Its gizzard is peeled, which is also one of the four signs. And that's not the same sign as the raven. So it's obviously not in the family of the raven. Which Amalehem on that, Rabbi Eliezer, in this version also said, no, afen asid lidin nesadin, they're going to actually have to give judgment and retribution for this, because actually is included in the Eirv. Now, but one thing that we see is that not only is the Eirv something that's us that has two signs, there are others, whether it be the Zarzer, or whether it be the Sinunis Levana, which as Tosfos points out, although the Rabbana are disagreeing, but they do agree that Lamina comes to include other birds that are similar, they just disagree in each version, whether it be the Zarzer or the Sinunis Levana. But that's the Gemara's question. How could Rav Nachman say that if you see a bird with two signs, as long as you know it's not the Eirv, and then it's going to be kosher, it might be one of the other ones? Again, whether Zarzer or Sinunis Levana or some other bird that has two signs, as even the Chachamah agreed to, conceptually. So El Rather says the Gemara to qualify for Rav Nachman, it means Oirv v'chol min Oirv. It means that this person recognizes, although he's not so proficient, he knows it's not the raven or one of the species of the raven, like for Rebbe Eliezer, he knows it's not the Zarzer or the Sinunis Levana. Then if he has a bird with two signs, then obviously it's going to be considered a kosher bird. Now Amar Meimei, he says, Hilchas HaLocha is a bird that comes with one kosher sign is going to be kosher, as Rashi explains, not like Rav Nachman, even if he's not proficient in what is the Peres Nesnia and in their names, because he holds we're not concerned for it being Peres Nesnia, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because they're not so common amongst places that people dwell, rather only in the deserts. Now, however, obviously a qualification is that when we find a bird with one kosher sign, we're going to assume that it's kosher as long as it's not a dairus. Because if it's a dairus, if it's an animal, if a bird that claws, obviously it's not kosher, because we said all kosher, integral sign of being a non-kosher bird is that it claws. Which Rashi points out that he says that any bird that puts its foot on the food when it's eating it, and it holds it in place with its foot that it shouldn't move around, and it doesn't put it all in its mouth right away, that qualifies for drisa, for clawing. And like he says, that's the ravens that they have in their houses in Rashi's times, which are called kuku'o, that would be considered daris, and even if it had one kosher sign, then it would not be kosher, because obviously it's not kosher, because it's a daris. However, Amalei Rav Ashi LaMeimer, he asked on LaMeimer, Hadu Rav Nachman Mai, what are you going to do with the halacha Rav Nachman that we opened up with that said that no, this if one sign is kosher is only if you're a baki, if you're someone that's proficient, and if not, you have to be suspect that, wait, there are two birds that even though they have one kosher sign are not kosher, maybe it's the person that's near. Which, as we explained, Amalei, so that Rav Ashi, Rav Ameimer responded, Rav Ashi says, Loi Shemili, I didn't hear this teaching of Rav Nachman, Kolema, what it means to say, Loi Svirili, I don't hold of it. Because Mayika, what would be the problem? For what do we have to be concerned when you find a bird, even though you don't know anything about it, but you see it has one kosher sign? The concern should be Mishum Peres Vaznia, because of these two birds, Peres and Vaznia, which, although they have one kosher sign, are considered not kosher. And that says a Mamer, less than Beyishav, they're not in places that people dwell. And therefore, if someone finds in a regular established place where people dwell, a bird with one kosher sign, does not have to suspect that it's the Peres Vaznia and could assume that it's a kosher bird. Continuing on this halacha related to what we had mentioned, one of the birds, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Eifa Misarit, the bird that literally, it's called that scratches, which as Rashi identifies refers to the swallow, is kashra l'taras mitzaira, is valid to be used in the purification process of the mitzaira, the person who has tzaras, meaning the Torah says that the bird that has to be used in his purification process is the tzipor, and that's Rabbi Yehuda, who's the tzipor, which bird are we referring to? Referring to this Eifa Misarit. And what's that bird? Vizuhi snunis levana, and this is the white snunis shenechle kuba, Rebbe Eliezer v'chacham, that they dispute, which meaning obviously Rebbe Yehuda is going like the chacham, who say that that's a kosher bird, because the tzipor that's used in the purification of Mitzrayim has to be kosher, and he's going like the chacham, that's the snunis levana, that was the bird, that's the tzipor that's used in the Taras of Mitzrayim. Now, Amar Meimei qualifies this teaching. And he says, b'chivra kreisa, when the stomach of the swallow is white, Kulamale pligadashire. No one's going to disagree that then that bird is permitted, that it's a kosher bird and it can be used for the purification of the mitzvah. Ki pligi b'direka kresa. Their whole dispute was that we have this machlikis that we mentioned before between the Rulez and the Chacham, is if its stomach is yellow. Rabbi Eliezer asa, Rabban Shari, he said, no, then it's not kosher. And Rabban says, permitted. And the Hilchas are Rabbi Eliezer, and says, Amen, the Hilchas are Rabbi Eliezer, that when it's, that this, quote, snunis lavana, which we're going to explain, really, although it's called the white snunis, it really refers to the yellow one, which is what they dispute. Rabbi Eliezer says, not kosher, and obviously then you can't use it for the Taras Mitzayra. That the halacha is like him, that it's not kosher. Now, however, Mazutra Masni Hachi, he taught the teaching of a Amemer in a different version, which, as Rashi points out, according to the first version of a Amemer, that who said the halacha is like Rabbi Yezid, that says that the snunis levana is forbidden, is obviously not like Rabbi Yehud, who said that the snunis levana is valid for the purification of the Mitzayra, because the Torah says it has to be Tahiris, which is a kosher bird, and according to that version, like Rabbi Yezid, it's not a kosher bird. But however, the second version of Amemer's teaching from Azutra would even be like Rabbi Yehuda. Because he says, B'direka kresa, when the stomach is yellow of the swallow, this type of bird, Sukula Amalei Pligadasa. Actually, there no one's going to disagree when it's yellow that it's not kosher. That's not valid. Ki pligi b'dechiva kresa, their dispute was when it's a white stomach, that, and this is like how Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that Rabbi Yehuda asa Rabban Shari, the Rabbi says, then it's forbidden, Rabban says it's permitted. V'hilcha sek Rabban, the Shari, now Allah sek Rabban, who says it's permitted. That's exactly Rabbi Yehuda, who said that that's this Nunis Levana, this the Eif Masar, that's Kashal, the Taras Matar, meaning like the Chachamim, now like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the case of this Nunis Levana, that's a kosher bird. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to before, now, Bishlim Lamand Amma Bechivra Kresa Pligi, we understand according to the second version that says the Machligas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham was regarding when its stomach is white. So Hain Diktani said, then we could understand that in the words of the prior Braisa that we brought when it says Leminoi, when Rabbi Yehuda says, that's coming to include, and the Girsa takes out the word Zuhi, Snunis Lavana, that Rabbi Eliezer says it's including the white Sinunis, and that the Chum disagree, and they say that, no, that's not included in Oirif, because they hold it's actually kosher. That's why it's called the white Sinunis, because they're talking about, although ravens are black, but we're talking about when the belly is white. But Elamandam and Bireiki Pligi, but according to the first version that said that their dispute is regarding only when the stomach is yellow, but actually when it's white, everyone agrees that that's going to be considered kosher. So Mai is the curse that takes to the word Zuhi, Sinunis Levana. Why are we calling it the white Sinunis? No, white, everyone agrees, that's not Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chacham. Everyone agrees that that's considered kosher and explicitly not the included in the Eiriv. It's actually the yellow one that they disagree about. Says Gemara, you're right. The white one, everyone agrees it's kosher, not included in the Eiriv. It's really referring to the yellow one. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says that's actually considered not kosher and included in the non-kosher bird of the Eiriv. So why is he calling it white? Is lafuki debati? It's coming to exclude the raven that grows and dwells in the houses, the uchmati, that they're black. So we call that white, although it's yellow versus black. But you're right, according to the first version, the white one, the snunis levana, the real white one, everyone agrees that that's going to be considered a kosher bird and valid for the taharas hametzayra. Now the Gemara continues with another teaching from Rabbi Yehuda, again continuing on this categorization of different types of birds. So Amr Chava, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, says Tassel, which is a type of a pigeon, hence, Pasel Mishum Tyran. In other words, there's two types of birds that the Torah tells us can be utilized in giving Oif Karbanas. There's certain types of Karbanas that can be birds. Now there's only two that the Torah specifies, Tyran, which are turtle doves, which are actually only valid when they're older. As the Gemara says in the first Perek of Bezim and Aleph, only when they're older are they kosher, actually when they're young, they're invalid. And then there's Bnei Yaina, which are young pigeons, which are actually only valid when they're young, not when they're older. So on that, says Rabbi Yehuda, since these tassels are types of pigeons, so they're invalid to be utilized like turtle doves, meaning when they're older. The Chashim Shem Bnei Yaina, but they're valid as pigeons, meaning only when they're younger, because that's the family they're part of. Now, versus Datsifi, which are actually types of Tyrant, turtle doves, and the Tyrant Shabbachava, and the turtle doves of the plaza, which is what its name is, it's called Tyrant Shabbachava, as we'll see many of these on Ahmed Bey's birds, which are, these are their interesting names. Kesherin Mishum Tyrant. Their validity is because of turtle doves, meaning only when it's older. Upasul Mishum Deyanya, and they're invalid to be used as young pigeons, meaning when they're young, then they're not valid. Now, however, Masav Rav Daniel bar Rav Katin, he asked on the first part of Rabbi Yehuda's halacha from a Mishnah set this part. The Mishnah says, Kol Eifes, all birds as a Katin to Medbeis, Paislin b'meichatas, they invalidate the chatas waters, meaning there's the waters that are used for the purification of a person who became tummy from a mess, where the ashes of the paraduma are burnt, put inside, and they spray on the person. If a bird drinks from those waters, the waters become invalid. Why? Because they don't suck the water. Rather, what happens is that they lift up from the water from the bucket with their mouth. Now, after it was already in their mouth, then the water falls out of their mouth. So it's like water that malacha, that work was done with it, because it was already used for the procedure of for the animals drinking. And the Gemara says, tells us that malacha paislasin, that work invalidates the water. So that was invalidated and dripped back in, that invalidates the water. Except for the pigeon, why? Because it sucks. So it draws in and nothing falls out. So the water that was left over, no malacha was done with it. Now that has the Gemara, but Vim Isa. Now if it's true, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that tassel is a type of a yaina of a pigeon. So listen, chutz me yaina of a tassel. It should say not only except for a pigeon, but also a tassel. On that Rabbi Zeri says no, because the difference is there, the tassel, meitzitz umeki. Yeah, it sucks, but it spits out. So, although you're right, it is a type of a pigeon because it sucks, as pigeons do, whereas other birds, they don't even suck, they just draw up the water with their lower beak and then it spills out. However, since the tassel besides sucks also spits out, that's what becomes invalidated, because its spit is mixed in and then that's like just spittle inside of there, which that's not valid mechatas, or like we said before, because the malacha was done with it. Whereas vizeh, but the pigeon, meitzitz vein, make it sucks up and it doesn't spit out. So that's why it's only valid by a yaina, but the tassel, although it's a type of a yaina, actually would invalidate the waters. Now, continuing a related discussion regarding this Tyrin Shal Rechava that we just mentioned before, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, again Rabbi Yehuda says, Hani Kufshani, which Kufshani is the word Tyrin, turtle doves, just in Aramaic. So these turtle doves, Tzutziani, which is the name of a place, Keshem Lagab Mizbech, they're valid as a carbon, like we said, it has to be the Tyrin of the Yaina, is valid for a carbon by the altar. And the Hain Hain, Tyrin Shal Rechava, these are what we mentioned before, the turtle doves of the plaza, which that's their name, Tyrin Shal Rechava. That's what this Kupshani Tzutziani are, and therefore they're a type of tyrin, and they're valid to be brought as karbanas. However, Meitzvei, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechtas Nagoyim. The Halacha says many times in the Torah, the one example where it says Ezoiv, that we have to use the hyssop, which is a type of herb, is by the paraduma ashes, which is that they throw it into the fire when the paraduma is being burnt up. So you have to use that Ezoiv. Now, the Mishnah tells us it has to be the hyssop, v'loy eziv yain, or the word is yavan, that it can't be the Greek eziv, v'loy eziv kaychali, and not the blue eziv, v'loy eziv roimin, not the Roman eziv, v'loy midbari, not the desert version, v'loy kol eziv shesh l'shem levai, or not any hyssop that has a secondary assisting name. Now, all these ezivs that we're excluding, they're all types of eziv, but they have a secondary name with it. And therefore, they're invalid. So we see that a Shem Levi, a secondary name, invalidates. And this questioner assumes that Tzutziani is a Shem Levi, a secondary name. And not, as we'll see, one answer wants to say, that based on the name of the place. So how can you say that Kufshani Tzutziani, the Tyrant Tzutziani, are valid, but that has a secondary name, and the Torah says just Tyrant, and anything that's secondary, that's an assisting name, invalidates? So Amabaye says as follows. He says, anything that its name was changed before the Torah was given at Har Sinai, for example, Ezov, now, and the Torah came along, and the Torah was particular, like by Ezov, where the Torah mentioned many times in the procedures that require Ezov, there was not one place that the Torah ever mentions it with a secondary name. Obviously, the Torah is very particular, that it has to be the generic Ezov that has just the word Ezov. And Yesh L'Hashem Levi Pasul, which tells us, but if it has a secondary name with it, which the Torah did not allow, like Ezev Yoyin, or Ezev Koicheli, or Ezev Raimi, then that's going to be invalid. That's why it's invalid. But Vahani, over here by these Torah Tzutziani, Loi Nishtanu Shmon Koid Matan Torah, their name was not changed before Matan Torah, their name was not in existence before the Torah was given. So the Torah, when it was saying Torah, was not coming to exclude from the Torah Tzutziani, because that name wasn't in existence yet. And therefore you can't say the Torah was excluding it, and therefore it's going to be valid as Torah. That's one version. Rav Amai gives another interpretation. He says, Hani Kufshani Tzutziani, that, like we said, Kufshani is a terminology of turtle doves, So when we're saying these tzutzioni turtle doves, be'asrayu, in the place of tzutzioni, stoma karlu, they just call it turtle doves. And that is, it's not called as a descriptive terminology, it's just based on telling us where it originated from, what's the location. And therefore, in that location itself, they just call it turtle doves, and therefore it is the classic tyrant, and that's why it's kosher. It doesn't have a Shem Levi, it's kosher as tyrant for the Mizbech. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amr Rabbi Yehuda again, says, Hani Kerazi, these grasshoppers, the Bechilfi that are found amongst the rushes, which are type of plants, so Sharu, they're permitted, with the Bekarvi, and the types of grasshoppers that are found amongst the cabbage, they are stiri, they're forbidden. And Amr Avina, moreover, he says, regarding this last category, says, and you even get lashes if you would eat this grasshoppers that are found amongst the cabbage because of a non-kosher sheret. What he's trying to say is that it's not a doubt, rather we know definitively that they're tameh, and therefore one would even get lashes, which you only get when it's definite, or not a suffocus. Another teaching of Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzerada, as we'll see, the first letter here is are what we're discerning and creating discrepancy. The type of bird that's called Tzerada, that's shari, that's permitted. That's a kosher bird. Berada, aser, that's forbidden. And v'samanech, and the mnemonic to recall this is bar minei, which means accept it. In other words, exclude that from us, which barda has the word bar, which is bar minei, excluding that one. That's one forbidden. Yet marda is sveka, that's a doubt. We don't know if that's a kosher bird or not. And so to Omer Vasi says, Shemayna sveka, saying there are eight birds that we have a doubt regarding them. They're chuva, chuga, suga, vaharnuga, tushlimi, umarda, the one we just mentioned, kechilna, uvarnafcha. It says, what's their doubt? Because eifis tarim kosher birds kukavan and niklef, their gizzard could be peeled, which is one of the organs, the intestines of a bird, and that's a sign that it's a kosher bird. Utemein in kukavan and niklef, but the non-kosher birds, their gizzard cannot be peeled. Now vahani, these eight kukavan and niklef bisakina, their gizzard could be peeled, but only with a knife. Now, what's moreover is that the other three signs of a kosher bird are verified in these eight birds, and we know they have those three. But we're in doubt, does it have the fourth sign of its gizzard being able to be peeled? And if it is, then there would be four kosher signs, which we know now that it's not in the category of any of the non-kosher birds. The thing is, however, if it's not considered that its gizzard being able to be peeled, so then it only has three kosher signs, then we're in doubt regarding all those other birds that we mentioned in the Torah specifically, that although they have three kosher signs, they're considered not kosher, maybe it's from those. And therefore, those eight birds are in doubt. On this, however, the Gemara asks, but by Hibar Avza, but there was this duck, to have a Beimar Shmuel that was in the house of the master Shmuel, to have a Kamaklev Kukavane, we know duck is kosher, but however, its gizzard couldn't be peeled, so they put it into the sun, and once it's softened up, then they were able to peel it off. But one thing you see is that even by kosher birds, sometimes it can be hard to peel it, so here, even though it's hard to peel, you need a knife, but why should that be a problem, a flaw, in its peeling of its korkavani? It should be that these eight birds are definitely kosher because its gizzard can be peeled, albeit with difficulty. You see, even kosher birds like a duck, its gizzard can be difficult to be peeled. Tosh Gemara answers, no, hasam over there by the duck. Ki rafi, but once it's softened up in the sun, iklib biyada, it can be peeled even by hand. Hacha avagav the rafi, here by these eight birds, even if we soften it up, loy maklef elibis sakina, it could only be peeled by knife. And that's still a doubt. We don't know, is that considered being able to be peeled? Or no, you're forcing it with a knife, and therefore not necessarily a sign of kashrus. Abaye continues in these halachas. It says, Tarnagoyla de agma, the chicken of the swamp, chad mishmay nesveke. So that's one of the eight birds that we have a doubt, because vahainu marda, that is the one that we call marda. And he's just identifying which one is the marda. It's just Tarnagoyla de agma. Now, on that Amra Papa, it says, Tarnagoyla de agma asira. It's in the male terminology. The chicken of the swamp is forbidden, which is the male version. Tarnagol to the agma shari, but the female chicken of the swamp is permitted. Now, Tosafot points out that don't say that it's the same species, but the male is forbidden and the female is permitted, because whatever is kosher, whether female or male, and whatever is not, is not. Rather, Tosafot says it's two different species, and it's just that's how they're called. The one species was called Tarnagoyla d'agma, and the other species was called Tarnagolta d'agma, but female and male would be the same. It's just that's its name. And v'samanech, and the manik to recall that the one with the male terminology is forbidden and the female is permitted, is a halacha of amayni v'loy amaynas. It's a well-known halacha amongst the Jewish people, and therefore used as a mnemonic, that, like the pasuk in Devarim Chaf Gimel says, the reason why the male amoinim are forbidden to enter the Jewish people is because, like the pasuk says, al dvar shalei kidmo esam, because they didn't come and bring you food when you were passing by, which that did not preclude the female amoinim, because it's only the custom of men to come out, not women. So it wasn't a problem of flow with the women, only with the men. So therefore, the Amoinus are actually permitted to enter. That's like we see Tarnagol to the female version of Agma Yesharia, but the male version is what's awesome. However, Darsh Meremer, Meremer expounded, that Tarnagol to the Agma Asira, no, even this, what we call in the female version, the female chicken of the swamp, is forbidden. Why? Because Chazua, the sages, saw the Dars of Achal that it clawed and ate. Vahainu Gerusa, and this is actually the Gerusa that the Gemara tells us later on the Kaf Tesma Beis, that they forbade, the Torah forbade for us the Gerusa, and at the same time permitted for us something else that has the same taste, as we'll see that the Torah always gives you a permitted pleasure in place of what you think you're going to get only through a forbidden pleasure. Now, Rashi points out that since we're not proficient in these signs, it would seem to him that when we have a bird in front of us, we have to say maybe it claws. Because like we find, this Tarnagol to the Agma, initially they assumed that it's kosher, but at a later time they saw that it claws, and therefore Rashi says we can't eat any birds, only what we have a Messiah, a tradition that our fathers gave to us that is a kosher bird, but what they didn't give, we have to be suspect, and however, only with a Messiah could we realize, the Gemara tells later on, the next daf in the Medbeis, that a kosher bird could be eaten with Messiah, but other than that, we can't know, like here they initially thought it's kosher, and then they saw that it's not, and therefore we can't rely on our own discernment. Amar Rav, continuing on these differentiations of similarly sounding birds or similarly appearing, Shavar and Darfata, which is the name of the bird, that's Shari, that's permitted. But Piras and Darfata, which the second name is the same but the first name is different, that's also that's forbidden. And Vasamanech, and the manik to recall this, is Piras Rashia. Now Piras was a well-known wicked person in the day in Talmudic times. So Piras Rashia, that word Piras is the Piras and Dafta bird, that's Aser, that's the mnemonic to recall that difference. So to Amr Avun, he says, Bun Yashari, but Peru Aser. V'samanech, and the mnemonic to recall that it's Peru, Parva, that's forbidden, is Parva Amgusha, where Parva was the name of a necromancer, of a mechashev, who he was the one that actually made what was known in the Beis Hamikdash as the Lishkas Beis HaParva, the chamber of Beis HaParva, as Gemara Yuma brings in Avlam Heyman Aleph. So the mnemonic to recall this is Parva that's forbidden, that he's Amgushi, that's someone that's off limits, and it's Bunya that's permitted. Amra Papa, he says, a similar differentiation, he says, this Mardu, that's Zagid Va'achal, that stands and eats, which it's just the name of a bird, and all these birds, although it sounds like that we're talking about what they do, it's just the name of the bird. So it's this Mardu Zagid Va'achal, that's Shari, that's permitted. But Sagid Va'achal, which literally means bends and eats, that's Aser, but its name was Sagid Va'achal, the Mardu Sagid Va'achal, that's forbidden. But Samanech, and the Manech to recall, is a pasuk in Shemais that says, Lo Yishtachave Le'el Acher, do not bow down to other foreign gods, where you see that the one that's Sagid Va'achal, that bends and eats, is forbidden, but the one that's Sagid Va'achal, that stands upright and eats, is permitted. So to Amar Shmuel, he says, Shasi Chamra Asira, the bird that's called Shasi Chamer, which literally means drinks wine, is forbidden. And v'samanech, and the manik to recall this, is shetuyei yain p'sun l'avayda, the halacha that those who are intoxicated of wine are invalid to do the avayda, which again, you see that's invalidation, that Shasi Chamer, the one who drinks wine, that bird, is forbidden. Now, v'amar Shmuel says, mazge chamer asira, the wine mixer, which again, its name is mazge chamer, that bird is asira, is forbidden. However, as you continue to talk about Samachim Laman Aleph, Bas Mazge Chamra, which is the name of the bird, the daughter of the wine mixer, that Shari is permitted. Samanech, and the manik to recall this, is Yafa Koecha Ben Mekoecha Av, that stronger is the strength of the son than the strength of the father, which is a halacha in Shavuos of Ches Laman Aleph, in regards to being able to collect, which is a different halacha, but one thing you see is that the son is stronger than the father, is better off. Here also, although it's really not related, but it's the mnemonic to recall, the mazge chamer, which is the wine mixer, that bird is forbidden, but bas mazge chamer, the child, is better, that's the bird that's permitted.